listening to another Netcast production brought to you by the Fancy Pants Gangsters at fancypantsgangsters.com. Because those who can, do. Those who cannot, do it on the internet.
Welcome to Bloggy Later Radio. This is episode number 3 of the podcast on the Fancy Pants Gangsters Network. My name is Chris, taking over for Qualler and Bridget this week, and I'm here with a special foreign guest, a former, hopefully soon to be again, Bloggy Later writer. Her name is Lady Amy. Hey, Amy.
Hey, how's it going, Chris?
Doing pretty well. How are you all the way over there in China?
I'm doing awesome. It's really cold here, though. I don't like that.
How cold is it? It's cold here in Minneapolis as well.
Yeah, it's probably not as cold as Minneapolis, but I'm still going to complain about it.
Nope.
Yeah.
Done. We're not talking about weather. We're here to talk about television. Amy, you're taking a trip around the world, and you had particularly a thing in China that has kind of caught you by surprise and wanted to find out about what kind of television is like in a communist state.
Ah, television surprisingly isn't that great here. China has really been behind in the whole TV culture. They don't really have that many shows that are sort of internationally viable, but they do have one that's up and coming, and it's a children's show, and it's kind of all the rage right now in China. It's pretty much impossible to walk down any street in Beijing without seeing this cartoon character's face somewhere. So I'm taking care of two little kids here in Beijing. I'm as an au pair, or working as an au pair for them. And they have this cartoon character everywhere, all over the walls, on their light switches, stuffed animals, coloring books, trading cards, stickers, pencil sharpeners, pencils, anything that you can
think of.
Would
you say it's akin to the Pokemon craze from the 90s?
Yes. Yeah, I would say it is akin to the Pokemon craze, or maybe like Hello Kitty. Like, it's kind of China's answer to Japan's Hello Kitty.
So what is it?
The show is called Pleasant Goat and Big Big Wolf, which I'm not that big a fan of the name, because...
Is the name in English, or is that translated from Chinese?
That's a good question. They do say the name of the show in English. Like, they write it in English in on the cartoon, which I find to be really strange, because it's the only thing that's in English, like, as part of the show. That it's all spoken Chinese, subtitled Chinese, like, the credits are run in Chinese.
Are there two characters in the show?
Yeah.
So, when they call the character that name in the show, it's in English?
No. I guess it's translated from Chinese, but still, like...
But just the name of the show is in English.
Yeah.
Weird.
It is really weird, and on all the toys, it's all in English. It says Pleasant Goat and Big Big Wolf.
So, is it a goat and a wolf?
Yeah,
or is
obviously.
That a lie too? Okay.
It's not a lie. Yep. It's a goat and a wolf. Actually, it's a family of
Pleasant.
Goats. Yep, Pleasant Goat is the heroine. No, he's a hero. There is only one. Sorry, please cut that out.
Don't worry, take care of it in post.
Okay, cool. Pleasant Goat is the hero, and Big Big Wolf is the villain. And basically, the show is about a family of goats, or I'm not sure if they're really a family. I think it's more of like a band of friends, you know? And they're supposed to be like elementary school kind of kids that are goats that live in the year like 3031 or something like that.
Futuristic goats.
Yeah, futuristic goats. Although their home isn't very futuristic. They live in like, a valley or something.
So why set it in the future?
I have no idea. I think, like, I read on Wikipedia that it's supposed to be set in the year of the goat in, like, 3000 something. Or yeah, which, like, there surely must be years of the goat, like, closer to present day. I mean, there's only, what, like, 12 zodiac signs or Chinese?
I think I've already displayed that I know little to nothing about China. Chinese culture. I'm marveled by the fact that they say something in English. I don't say anything in Chinese, unless egg roll is Chinese.
Egg roll is not Chinese. In fact, I've never seen an egg roll here.
Really? Oh.
Yeah. Dumplings, though. Lots of dumplings. They're really good.
I guess that's good. Do they call them dumplings, or is there a Chinese
word? No, there's a Chinese word for them. Yeah.
Do you know it?
Can't remember it right now. I do know it. It's written in my notebook. I am taking Chinese classes.
Can you write in Chinese?
No.
You're just learning how to speak.
Yeah, I'm just learning how to speak. I guess like in 1958, this is way sidetracked from TV, but in 1958, they adopted the pinyin, which is the actual like phonetic spelling of Chinese words, because the Chinese written alphabet is, well, it's not really an alphabet. It's just characters and it's not phonetic at all. So you can't really read the characters and know what the sounds are.
Weird.
Yeah. So they had to translate it into like a form that like we stupid Westerners could figure out if we wanted to learn their language.
Yeah. They sound a lot smarter than us.
Yeah. They kind of are. It's because they study a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good to hear that, you'll come back, a not so dumb Westerner.
Yeah, that is true. I'll come back a not so dumb Westerner with lots and lots of knowledge on Chinese children's television.
Good. And that show's going to be coming here soon, right?
Yeah, actually, China Daily just reported that Disney has plans to pick up Pleasant Goat and Big Big Wolf. And the article doesn't say when they're going to start airing it on the Disney channels in like, I think like 15 different countries, maybe. But just the last 100 episodes they're going to pick up, which I think is going to be really, really cool for China, because they haven't really like been able to break in the like kids television market the way that like Japan has, or, you know, other countries.
Oh, because Pokemon was Japan, correct?
Yeah, and Hello Kitty is Japan. So China hasn't really had any success yet in that area. So I think it'll be really big. And I think that this show has a lot of potential to be really big. I think because it doesn't, I don't know, Bridget would agree with me on this, but it doesn't use the stupid computer animation that I hate with the modern day cartoons.
That's good.
Yep. It's like more of a, like a traditional like animation. And so I think that that's really good for me anyway. And like if they translate it correctly from Chinese to English, which the Chinese have a terrible habit of doing incorrectly. So hopefully they'll get some.
That was my alarm to say I should go Skype with Amy now. But we started doing it early.
Oh,
so I'll take that out in post, too. Don't worry. Well, anyway,
I think this cartoon is going to be very successful because it uses more traditional cartooning techniques. And I hate stupid computer animation. I think it's BS. Can we say the S word on this show?
Yeah, this is the internet.
Sweet.
Not the radio.
Okay. I think computer generated animation is bullshit.
It was hard, wasn't it?
It was really hard.
You never say that word in real life.
You can't say that word on the radio.
Or in real life.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, I think that if they have the correct translations, and if Disney puts a lot of money into the like marketing of it, because I think that's what's making the show so big here, is it's not really the show itself. It's mostly all the toys and gadgets and shit you buy your kids.
And that's something Disney's very familiar with.
Yeah. So it'll see.
Have you seen like any of the recent like Disney Channel cartoons like Phineas and Ferb?
Yeah. Disney Channel was the only cable channel I got for a while.
Oh, that's right. And you watched the Wizards of Waverly Place.
Let's not announce that to the world, but
I'll take that out in post too.
I may or may not have watched the occasional Wizards of Waverly Place and Hannah Montana. And Phineas and Ferb, reruns of Kim Possible.
So, does this Pleasant Goat show like fit like the kind of kind of fluffy theme, kind of, but also like Phineas and Ferb is kind of weird. I always thought for a Disney Channel show.
I always thought Phineas and Ferb belonged more in like Nickelodeon than Disney Channel.
Yeah, I agree.
The animation style is really similar in that like gross, like Rugrats kind of way.
Right. Or even like a little Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah. Ren and Stimpy. Ooh, I could never watch that show. It made me gag when I was a kid. I think that the show has a lot of potential and, you know, I guess if they translate it to English, they can put whatever the hell they want because nobody knows what the goats are actually saying. So
true.
Yeah.
The kids that you look after, do they like it a lot?
Yeah, they like it a lot. They have like so much pleasant goat shit everywhere. It's crazy.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I look forward to saying that Blogulator Radio said it first, that Pleasant Goat and, what is it, Big Big Wolf?
Yep, Pleasant Goat and Big Big Wolf. I wonder if they're going to keep the name, though. I mean, it might come to the U.S. with a different title.
Yeah, I don't know. That'll be interesting.
Mm.
But you heard it here first, Pleasant Goat and Big Big Wolf, the next huge animated franchise here in the States, imported from China.
Perfect.
Thanks, Amy, for bringing that info.
You're welcome.
I know that you also wanted to talk a little bit about American TV, since I'm sure you miss it, yes?
Ah, yes. I miss American TV. Mucho, mucho, mucho.
How do you say mucho in China?
I think it's han duo. Han duo?
Han duo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Specifically, you're going to be missing some soap operas soon, I hear.
Yeah. First of all, I don't really have the ability to keep up on news as well over here as I do back home. So, you know, I check the New York Times or CNN or whatever occasionally, but I haven't really been following the news that closely. In addition, Communist China does actually block some of those sites, and you have to buy a special, like, VPN for your computer in order to get them. So it costs money if you want to get, like, uncensored websites. Otherwise, what they do with like the Wall Street Journal is they'll just have like blank spaces where articles used to be on the website.
Weird.
Yeah, it's so weird. But anyway, so I was taking one of my occasional ganders at the New York Times, and I came across this article that ABC is going to cancel All My Children and One Life to Live.
No! 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 You can't put her in the ground!
And do you think that this is indicative of a trend that's following? Because, I mean, those are two huge shows that have been around for a long
time. Yeah,
Do you think that soap opera is dying out?
Yeah, I mean, that it seems like this article suggests that that is the trend. And the article also says that they've had falling ratings since 2006. So they were desperately clinging to these ones, hoping that they'd make a comeback. But, you know, if 5 years doesn't, like, turn the tide, I don't think anything's going to.
Probably yeah. not. So what are they going to replace them with, do you know?
Yeah, actually, the article says that they're going to replace them with what I think to be the stupidest ideas ever. One show is going to be called Chew, and will be devoted to cooking and nutrition, featuring Chef Mario Batali. I don't even know him, so it must not be good.
Because you don't, yeah. If you don't know it, it's awful.
And the other program is going to be called The Revolution, and it's going to focus on issues relating to health, weight loss, and lifestyle transformations, and we'll devote...
That's not the same as Jamie Oliver's Food Revolution or whatever, right?
No, I don't think so. Like, well, I guess I haven't seen it yet, so I don't really know what it's going to be like, but it also is going to devote some time each week to the efforts of one woman to lose weight over a five-month period. So I've got to say, this Chew show is going to blow immediately, for sure. People want drama, not...
You don't... The food shows are hitting it big nowadays.
Yeah, but though. Like in the middle of the day, replacing a soap opera, and it's devoted to...
It is weird.
It's not just devoted to cooking, but cooking and nutrition. So it's like, hey, a cook show, but we're going to be all preachy because you're fat. Look at you. Like, if you're a cool chef like me, maybe you'd know how to take care of yourself.
Yeah. And the whole point of a soap opera is like escapism for the bored housewives, right?
Exactly. People want escapism, so, which is why like Ricky Lake was so popular as an alternative to soap operas.
True. Yeah. And Maury and Sally Jesse Raphael.
Exactly.
So why did, I don't know why everybody thinks that this new boom for the middle of the day is going to be like shoving guilt in all everyone's face who isn't at work for saying, not only are you either unemployed
or lazy,
or a stay at home or lazy, but you also don't eat.
Right. Meat. Like, so, clearly if you're home right now, it's because you have problems taking care of your health. Maybe you should cook like me.
Yeah. Well, which is weird because I wonder if they're doing this because they're losing out on ratings to people with cable who go to the Food Network, Travel Channel that have a lot of these food-oriented shows, but those shows don't necessarily shove nutrition information down your throat. It's more of a escape. It's like when I watch like Man vs. Food, it's escapism for me because it's like I wish I could go there and have that 6-foot burrito.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I don't see this Chew show being successful. I really don't.
It's also an awful name.
Yeah, it's not like
chewing is the grossest part of
eating. Yeah, like they might as well call it like mastication.
That's what I was
really.
Yeah, because it was a vocab word in my.
Oh, nice. On a radio show I used to work on, we used to do a sketch called Mastication Theater, where the host would just talk about politics and eat the entire segment. It was really disgusting.
It's a good joke. So do you know other soap operas that have gone off the air by now?
Yeah, I think Guiding.
I know General Hospital's still going.
Yeah, I think
right?
so, and I think Guiding Light went off the air already. When I told my mother about the soap opera, she freaked out because she thought Days of Our Lives was going off the air, but it's not.
That one's
don't worry,
okay.
That one's still doing okay, which is fine because I'm a Days fan myself. That's the one that I would get to watch when I stayed home sick. My mom would let us, she'd cook me some soup, we'd watch Days of Our Lives, and then I'd fall asleep in a cough syrup-induced coma. Yeah, it was awesome. And, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think the soap operas are maybe coming to the end of their era. That's all the same plot lines over and over and over again. Stefano, the villain, has a fake death for the 15th time in the series. And, oh my gosh, he's still alive. And, you know, Victor's a mobster. And so-and-so has amnesia. And so-and-so is a baby. And, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, and you know, I've never watched more than a couple minutes of a soap opera.
Oh, really?
And I can't say that I've liked any of the couple minutes I've ever seen, but I think especially for Blogulator Radio, since I think people by now, if you've been listening, you see that we have an inclination toward talking about and liking particularly the scripted programming, and just this is just one more example where scripted programming is being replaced by more fact informational based shows. And while it's not to say that those are unuseful shows, it does seem like more and more every day the scripted program is becoming something either dying out or becoming more elite in the programming of like HBO and
yeah
HBO. And it's
is like, I mean, it is a lot more expensive to produce, plus like from the Blogulator perspective, Chris, I really could have seen this coming, because when all of those budget cuts came down the pipe, our soap opera department was the first thing to be cut. That should have been...
I know.
Yeah, we had to do it. That should have been the first warning sign.
I know. You were so sad that we had to fire all those muscly lantern
jobs. I know. I mean, seriously, we could have kept them. We could have found jobs for them.
You could have found jobs
for them. Well, yeah. I definitely could have found jobs for them.
Okay.
Sorry.
Lady Amy, thank you so much for joining me. I've got to wrap it up because I'm doing a segment in a little bit with Dr. Peace.
Say hi to Dr. Peace for me and ask him about
I shall.
Plants versus Zombies. Another popular
Plants
yeah, another zombie. Popular thing
another popular
in Chinese.
Chinese.
Yep, in Chinese, in China.
All right. Will do. All right, thank you very much, Lady Amy. This is Blogulator Radio with special guest Lady Amy. Coming in all the way from China.
Ooh,
have a
bye.
Good one. This is Blogulator Radio from the Blogulator.com and Fancy Pants Gangsters Network. This is Chris again. I've got on the other line this time, Dr. Peace from Milwaukee. How's it going, Doctor?
It's going great. Yourself?
Oh, I'm doing good. Before we get into this, Doctor, I wanted to make a little correction for the majority of the previous segment that we just heard with Lady Amy in Beijing. I would like to say that anytime I use the adjective weird in reaction to anything she said about Chinese television, that I actually meant to say fascinating. So as to kind of dissuade anybody that I'm xenophobic in any way. So, Doctor, we're here to talk about Friday Night Lights, which just premiered on NBC this last, what was it? I don't know. What makes sense? Thursday night? Wednesday night?
I don't know. I think it was on Friday, wasn't it?
Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, I think they actually put it on Friday.
Right. They did. I knew that. I just wanted to hear you say
Oh.
I just always pictured my last night and Dylan to be epic.
You want epic?
You know, that brings up the topic of the night they put it on when it was first airing, when they were moving it all around.
And then under DirecTV or when?
On NBC. Didn't they start it out on Thursday and then eventually they moved it to Friday?
Oh, I think you're right, because the ratings.
Right, but I always thought Friday might be a bigger problem, because especially in the fall, people who were interested in high school football would be at the games on Friday night.
Right, and if that's the kind of crowd you're trying to bring in.
But instead they brought in the hipster blogging crowd, so maybe that's what they were going for all along.
Exactly. All of us that choose to stay in and watch NBC on Friday nights, and therefore are hipsters.
Yeah, what else would you do on a Friday?
No, going out's for the mainstream.
Exactly.
So you've seen the entire season via DirecTV, right?
I have seen it entirely via somebody's DirecTV that I accessed in legal or illegal means via the internet.
Good. And what'd you think of it overall, without spoiling it for me, who's just seen the first episode this past weekend?
Right. Well, I'm going to be careful. I worry about saying too strong of an opinion, because I don't want to put the imprint in your mind that it's a great season or a bad season, because I don't know if that will negatively or positively affect your viewing experience. Like, when I watched The Wire and everyone told me, oh, the fifth season isn't as good, then I feel like maybe in the back of my mind the whole time I was watching that season, I was like, oh, maybe it's not that good. But, I'll say it's definitely not as low as season two. I ordered all my seasons in favoritism once, and I think I had the first season as my favorite, and then the third or fourth, and then the fourth or third, whichever was opposite, and then I think the fifth. So I think it's good, but I don't know. It's also hard to say, because this was the first season that I was watching on a week-by-week basis as it was airing. So all the others I had watched on Netflix, so I could just watch another episode right after that.
Same here. And even though I've just seen the first episode, I already felt like it seemed very slight, the way that they're bringing us back into the world of Dylan, Texas and everything.
Right.
And so it's kind of weird that I have to wait another 7 days in order to find out that overarching story, which is very, very I don't know, it's slowly developing, but at the same time, it once you get into it, it enraptures you so much that you want to keep watching.
True. And I had a similar conundrum with Battlestar Galactica, where I watched the first three seasons all the way after they aired on DVD, and then I watched the fourth season as it was airing, and now I don't know, like, if I feel the way I feel about that last season because I watched it week by week, or if because I didn't actually like it as much as I liked it.
Right, and that's what's making me wonder about Parenthood, which is the show from Jason Kadams of Friday Night Lights that's more current, that seems to be getting more of an audience than Friday Night Lights ever did. But, I mean, I don't think it's as good a show at all, but, I mean, now just seeing the first episode of Friday Night Lights Season 5, it makes me wonder, would I like Parenthood more if I could just watch all of them in a row? And I don't know. Maybe not. There's a lot of other issues with that show compared to this one. But I felt very, very disconcerted at the end of Friday Night Lights Season 5 premiere, because, like, I only got a little bit of a tearjerker scene. I think that's the specific reason that I like to watch them in a back-to-back order, because then
right.
you get the emotional wallop a lot quicker because you get a flow with it. For instance,
what was the tearjerker in the premiere, if you may refresh my memory?
I mean, I guess there was a couple ones. The most prominent one was, I think, them saying goodbye to Julie.
Oh yeah, Julie.
But we also think about a Landry. That scene with Landry and Grandma Saracen got me pretty bad.
Yep.
So it's tough. You had mentioned to me on the blog in which I counted down my top 10 Friday Night Lights characters, and that I was very much in anticipation of becoming more and more engrossed with the character of Vernon Merriweather. And you told me that they only mention him in passing.
Yeah.
And they did that. They did that in this premiere. And that was kind of sad to hear that he's off opening up his own Ray's Barbecue franchises and that he likely won't be back.
Yeah. I don't.
You can affirm for me.
That is true. I don't know why they didn't bring him back. I looked. It didn't seem like he was too busy. I looked at his IMDb page, but maybe. You know, they just had only 13 episodes and they had to finish everything. So maybe they just wanted to limit the characters and took him out. But his daughter is in it a lot, whatever her character name is.
Jess,
that's it.
My wife's name, Doctor.
Oh, I thought your wife's name was Journey, like the actress.
Yeah, that is a pretty terrible name. Spelled J-U-R-N-E-E. Mm-hmm. But overall, you would say that I and other people just watching it now on NBC should stick with it to see the end of not only this season, but of the series Friday Night Lights, yes?
Yes, definitely. There's a couple of plot lines in season 5. I know I don't want to spoil too much, but like Amy Teagarden, what's her character's name? I'm bad at this.
Julie.
Even though she has that... tearjerker goodbye in the first scene, she is in pretty much every episode. I think they have a plot with her at school, and that in my opinion is not a very good plot. But now I just ruined it for you, because now you're gonna have that bat in the back of your mind. So maybe it's a great plot. I mean, maybe, I don't know, there's no nudity, so it's not a good plot.
Good to know. And you know what? I think that now that you mentioned that, I mean, I've read all the things about how terrible season 2 was. And even though I agree that season 2 is definitely the worst, I didn't know in advance that it was Landry and Tyra that had the murder mystery plot.
Right.
And so that actually, I think I was able to, because I liked those characters so much, not let that affect my viewing of it so much as I had read that it might have.
Yes, I agree. I also did not know too much about it before. I don't even know if I knew that it wasn't great. I just knew that it stopped halfway because of the strike. And murder plot, I didn't hate so much. I mean, it was kind of obvious that they were trying to pick up a bigger audience with it, maybe, even though producers tend to deny that. But I think it made sense for Landry to take strong action in the case of Tyra getting attacked. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, as in the scheme of TV dramas, I mean, I think you see a show called Friday Night Lights and it's about football and you want it to go strictly in the direction that was set up for it by its first season. But as far as straying from it, and it did kind of feel like a different world comparison to the other characters, they still did the best they possibly could.
Yeah, I think it was the fact that they were trying to cover up the murder and hide it that made it kind of weird.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Doctor, I want to appreciate and thank you for your time discussing Friday Night Lights with me. I'm sure you'll be back on Blogulator Radio sometime soon.
You're welcome. Hopefully I didn't stumble too much. I'm a blogger, not a talker. And my hero, Kurt Vonnegut, also I don't think did very many verbal interviews because he preferred to write them. And I'm pretty much comparable to Kurt Vonnegut on every level. And also I didn't provide too much content because I didn't want to spoil or set the give you thoughts, seep them into your mind that you didn't want there. So I did what I thought was best for society.
Good. And society thanks you. And you know what? Here comes our catchphrase. You'll say it with me, Doctor?
Yes.
Because our opinions are valid.
It's harder to do when you're not seeing the person.
No, it's true. Eye contact's very important.
Yes, it is.
See you, Doctor. Thanks for having us.
Bye, Chris.
Chris again here for Blogulator Radio from Blogulator.com and Fancy Pants Gangsters Network. For this week's episode, we're going to close out with a segment with my own wife, who I've mentioned on the blog before at theblogulator.com, but has yet to appear either on the blog, apart from the comments section, or on this here podcast. So we're glad to have her on the third episode. Jerksica, how are you?
Fantastic. You make me sound like such an enigma.
Well, you quite are, to be honest, to many of our co-bloggers on the Blogulator. You seem to have your opinions quite fiery. Is that a word? Fiery?
Fiery.
You have fiery opinions.
And frequently.
And yet you choose to keep your distance from the blog itself and the world of pop culture dissection publicly anyways.
I'm just not sure if they're ready.
Well, here, we're going to find out. I brought you on because you're the only one that will watch competitive reality TV with me.
And what a season it is.
And how, indeed.
All around.
And especially for someone like myself, and I think you as well, competitive reality TV never seemed to be such a great thing until recently.
I know. I don't know if it's because we're getting older, and is that like a symptom of us getting
I think we have to accept it.
Or is reality television becoming more and more interesting? Probably not the latter.
No. I think it's been quite uninteresting and been pretty stable ever since it started. It's pretty straightforward. You have a group of celebrities or a group of everyday people, and they get cut off one by one, but somehow we start to thrive on it. Maybe it's in our growing up, we like to see both the failures and successes of people that have a chance at something ridiculous, like being able to give $20,000 to a charity or get to open three of their own restaurants across the nation.
I think you're being too generous, though, because I don't think people really like watching other people's success. Like, I think it's the failures that drives that genre.
And there's way more failures than there are successes.
I know. That's why I can't believe I haven't... It took me this long to discover that genre, because I'm so judgmental. I love people's failures.
Well, I'm glad that we can admit that. Let's get more specific. We want to start first with the biggest, the boldest, and... quite honestly, the baddest of them all. It's American Idol this season with two new judges, and poor old Randy Jackson left to be the only one that seems to ever give any kind of form of criticism.
Oh, he's such the grandpa of the show now, isn't he?
Yeah.
And like, he's younger than Steven Tyler, isn't he? Steven Tyler looks like a skeleton, so
right.
He's got to be pretty old.
Right.
But Randy Jackson just seems like the old man of the group. Like, I don't know, like... Clip on your ball, my yard, you know, like, I just don't understand. It's like he keeps looking around, like waiting for Simon or Kara DeBarty, right, or somebody to come in that he recognizes, you know,
because he never could be the one before to say something negative. And now he's kind of flustered with having to take on that role.
I know.
And it's sad.
It is. It's very sad. And he's not very good at it either.
It's been said, and it is definitely true, that the mark of a great singer, this is a singing competition, is the quality of the tone of the voice. Yeah. Not the runs, all the power, the quality of the tone. Your tone, when we first heard you, reminded me so much of the late, great Michael Jackson that I love it. It's infectious from the first note you sang. So it doesn't matter what age you are, this is what hot singing is about.
No, he's terrible.
He can't fill Simon's role. And he's only slightly more difficult of a judge than he was before. It's like he went from still water to being like flavorless sparkling water. Like that's his personality as an Idol judge.
Right. And I think we specifically noticed this over the course of the past few weeks. Instead of in order to sit, to make it not look like he's praising them unilaterally like the other judges are, like Steven Tyler and J-Lo, he's now just saying what the artist sounds like. And is just name-dropping people.
Well, that's the other reason I think he's, like, such a grandpa. Because he's, like, just listing people that he's right. Either worked with or heard of. Like, I think he just listens to, like, Ryan Seacrest's radio show out in L.A. Because they film out in L.A. Like, I bet he just listens to that in his car and then just, like, drops whatever he hears on the contestants as, uh-huh. as they perform.
And somehow that comes off. And then J-Lo gets really taken aback, like... How dare you compare him, or how dare you say anything, but this person's amazing. There's no way they could ever get voted off.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about J-Lo for a second, too, because I think that's what's so interesting about the whole genre discussion, because Randy just name drops a whole bunch of people, and J-Lo, like, pretends like she understands other forms of music
right.
than pop, and it is really, she doesn't like, even, disconcerting.
And she barely understands pop.
Yeah, yeah.
She played a pop artist in a movie, and she is, like,
has pop records once every 8 years.
Yeah, because she's done, and then dance records, and she was like street for a while. And,
right, from the block.
Yes, when she was from the block. But yeah, she was talking about trying to explain to people what metal was and like how artistic jazz is, and it's very disconcerting to watch.
Right. Well, let's talk about the contestants since you brought up two of the genres that I don't even know if you could argue that they're actually on the show presently, but the judges like to remind us that the contestants are maybe a little more eclectic than they are. Specifically, James Durbin, who is that his name? Durbin?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound right.
No, that's
okay. Yeah. So we might have an idol named James Durbin. Mm-hmm. Tim Urban, that's why I'm thinking it sounds weird. Mm. There's nothing like him, though. And he's basically an Adam Lambert ripoff, but he likes... But less fun.
Like, no eyeliner.
Yeah.
Not as queenie.
No. He has Tourette's, and so it seems like he has to constantly mention that, which totally understandable. It's something he's dealing with every day, but at the same time, that's his only defining quality, I feel like, other than the bandana hanging out of his back pocket.
Yeah, which looks like he's, like, a streamer, you know?
It's unfortunate.
Like, in every single episode. But I will say about the Tourette's and, you know, other stories like that the contestants have, is that I really feel like this season is a lot better because they haven't been exploiting those stories as much. You know?
That's true.
Like, especially in the beginning when they had the audition phases and there was that contestant who, you know, had the girlfriend that was in that terrible accident, and that was on all of the promos, and I just kept thinking, like, I don't know if I can take this season, if that's what it is about. So I will give them props there that they've really backed away from the, you know, just the continuous reminder
yeah.
to the audience about how difficult all the contestants' lives are.
Well, because the personalities of the contestants themselves are so over the top that they don't need to really string out any personal stories from the past. Like, for instance, one of our favorites is Jacob, constantly rooting for him.
Absolutely.
Not only do I genuinely enjoy his voice, but just the way that he performs is so... we'll use the word already, queenie, mm-hmm. that it is both magnetizing to watch and actually does have some emotional heft to it, but it's just so ridiculous that you can't pull your eyes away. It's like a train wreck combined with a beautiful interpretation in music mm-hmm. of a train wreck.
Well, and you know, Idol's had its share of scandal over the years with its contestants, mm-hmm. and I don't know if you knew this, but he's the only one of this season so far that it's come out that he's been arrested.
Oh, really? I did not know that. What is he arrested for?
I can't remember. He had a warrant out for his arrest down south.
This mild-mannered spa concierge.
Yes.
That's too bad.
And he was on my favorite Idol blog.
VoteForTheWorst.com. Which we should talk about the actual news of current Idol bootees. Paul McDonald recently got booted from the show, and that was Vote for the Worst's pick. This is, of course, the website that started the craze for Sanjaya a few years back, and so now they've got to look for another Vote for the Worst. And I mean, I'm sad to see Paul go, but I think it's probably good for the show overall to slowly pick away at the white guys with guitars. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what the site was going for, because they knew that the producers, you know, wouldn't want another white guy with a guitar to win again. So I agree with that, too. And I see where they're going with it, but I always just vote for crazy, right?
Oh, yeah. Crazy's definitely... So, I get the joke, like the just try to run Idol as a rut into the ground. Right. But I think it's much more flavorful and exciting when you get a crazy person like Sanjaya to kind of pop out of the screen a little bit more and... grab attention a little bit more. I don't want Lita Wise number two, even if he's got a rose jacket on, you know.
And pants.
Rose pants as well. Yes. So who do you think is going to be the winner?
Oh, I think it's going to be really, really tough. I think they're really pushing for Casey.
But then again, that's another white guy with a guitar.
With a bass, an upright bass. Yes, which Randy makes clear that he's played every time that right. he comes out. But I mean, they really have been pushing him, you know, calling him an artist whenever he performs. They use their wild card save on him too.
Right.
But I don't think that he's going to be the winner.
And you know, I feel like they just call him an artist because he picks a genre each week, but he picks a different genre each week. So I don't know how they really see that he has any marketable single skill that will apply to a whole record, much less a few singles.
I think they just mean like super crazy. Like his face is like a performance artist.
It's true.
That's what's entertaining about it.
Right.
Right. But no, I don't think he's gonna get down to the end.
I think they're still pushing for a girl winner, and I don't know if they're gonna have it in Haley, but they might have it in Lauren Elena.
That's true. Yeah, I think actually, I think we talked about this last week that I have a feeling it'll come down between Lauren Elena and Scotty McCreary, because I think there's a huge component of idol watchers that are really into country music, and I think Lauren Elena's done the whole crossover thing. As she's gone farther too, so I'd kind of like to see Scotty McCreery in, because I think that'd just be like insane to see the aftermath of.
Yeah, and I mean he's definitely a personality compared to all past idol winners, Carrie Underwood included, the other country winner, but I also think it would feel kind of stale to the point where it would be very, very clear that even though he's a white guy without a guitar, he's still a white guy playing to guitar music. And even if it's country music, it's still, you know, the classic middle class genre that has kind of plagued American Idol over the past 5 years. I don't think they, if somebody like Scotty wins this year, I don't know if American Idol will ever get to go back to proclaiming that it is a nationwide universal pop icon show. Mm-hmm. It's very strictly this kind of music for this kind of person. And I'd be sad, but I'd keep watching it because we'd have crazy, awesome people like Jacob every once in a while.
It's true. It's an amazing circus.
Well, we've gone on a little rant here about American Idol for a bit longer than we expected, but we have other competitive reality shows to talk about. We'll have to save them for another time. A couple of our other favorites that you can be sure to check back for Blogulator Radio recaps and discussions on include one of our faves, and is also in its first season, hopefully of more. I guess it depends on how many restaurants they can open nationwide, but America's Next Great Restaurant on NBC.
Amazing.
Very excited to see which one, especially since I work down the hall from where they're currently constructing, very in secret. They've got it all encapsulated.
Really? Who the winner's going to be. You're going to camp out there every day.
Oh, yeah. Right. I'm excited to see that. And also, Celebrity Apprentice really has been heating up this year, even though I kind of hate myself when I watch it every week with Gary Busey recently getting booted off.
Absolutely. And The Voice is coming up. Which
we're excited about that as well.
I can't imagine.
Can you imagine? American Idol, except the chairs are backwards.
Backwards
chairs.
America.
Thank you for listening. Thank you, Jerkska, for joining me for the first time ever on any Blogulator-related production.
You're welcome.
It's Blogulator Radio from theblogulator.com, fawning over and skewering television here on the Fancy Pants Gangsters Network. Make sure to check us in the written version out at theblogulator.com.